We're all just about the same height. So this is a poem called The Bard. King Tut, 5'6", lies supine on mold-flecked cotton, ceiling transfixed. Body broken as if struck by lightning, dead at 19, before the purpose, before the remark, my avatar. In my last teen year, my man tried to kill me with a Volkswagen, rammed my spine with drill, reversed to gain momentum. I leapt from light, body split from spirit, ba left ha. Fractures don't kill, but heal with an echo wedged in the chasm. The valley of the kings, I imagine, is located in the foreground of a photograph wall mural from Sears, beneath the mountain. You can tear the world off by its corner and ball it up in your arms. That's all it is. The universe got hitched, had quince, divorced, hitched over, while I ruminated in my bed about hot knives. I described my crypt to a doctor who mimed a gun trigger at his temple. You feel pow-pow sometime? No, the opposite. To re-enter. To reanimate my shell. How the blockbuster CGI storm cloud resets the hero's backbone in line. Instead, my ex-love became a security guard, a bored protector of goods against longing. Who wouldn't rather camouflage than change? But grief has an unknown half-life, and I've been resined in a vault of magical thinking that I can spellcast superstition into art. That's a poem from my book. My book came out last fall. The title of it is a hieroglyph, so we have an AKA title that's called Sharps. And when I was thinking about reading tonight, which I haven't read in a while, it dawned on me that I never asked anybody if they knew what Sharps meant. My publisher was just really thrilled that I would give them an English word. I work in hospitals, so I have for a little while, so hopefully you guys know what Sharps is like that. Yellow plastic repository on the wall, I see not good. Where you put the needles, right? A needle is a sharp. So I thought I would read three poems from the book that kind of represent some of the threads that are hopefully in there. So that first poem was kind of had some Egyptian mythology and I won't pour into the details of why. But now I'm gonna read another poem sort of about hospital life. So this poem is called Outpatient Methadone Pharmacy, Help Wanted. Phosphorescent ampules slumber, white truffle boxes, Coke Road, cynical as a Hearst installation, but free of charge. You only need to line up and be patient. 3 out of 4 weeks of dosing glide by numb, but on the fourth, security doubles up patrols, corridors get edgier. Patients are flush with monthly checks, and dealers undulate in entrances. Tank top and fedora, Harvey Keitel pimps retreat to the needle. You can't recognize each face. Images slip. It's the ghostly ones, rustling bone, windowed, lost. But after tincture, they swim on dry land. It's all double rainbows, and they're mute as monks. A bald man oscillates every noon in the hall between the elevator and disused gym. He sluices, how good you look in that color. How lovely you are. Father-like, not ledge. You sketch in your mind a flip book, his fiction life. The wife, the child, the snakes and ladders. Over courtyard lunches, you cotton on to the craving of patience. Quote, a script that comes in Skittle flavors, that doesn't taste like shit. The meth pharmacy pays high, but has retention issues. It's hiring again. It's one thing to do one thing well. It's another to do only one thing ever. What's that, guys? I forgot to ask you the volume. And I have to watch more speed than speed. This is from the clinician's perspective, not the. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to read one more from the book and then some new work. So I kind of mentioned a couple of the other threads, and this one is another thing that I hope is in there. That is the book and film The Last Unicorn. And I thought it's kind of been a lifelong inspiration. Most of my books growing up, I drew her in them. And it's just, I don't want to get into the details of the story, but it's a woman basically on a hero's journey. And through the book, she encounters a series of different men, some more benevolent than others, but each one kind of has their own agenda. It's written by a man, but I actually think it's really insightful about life as a woman. This isn't about that. This is just based on the song that Jimmy Webb wrote, that America played amazingly. So anyway, this song is called The Last Dollar Store. I keep hoping one day I'll have the nerve to like sing it, but no, tonight. But if you remember it, then you can hear the melody. Anyway, when the last coffee line is sued by the last franchise it rhymes with, and the last Starbucks is installed in the last former bank flagship, among the aprons of the queue, who's more insatiable and broke? They'll share in being grateful for the last dollar store. When the last play on Rama is thought of and the last sign is mounted, and the last low-by inmate Halloween's decoration quota is counted, between poster board tombstones, he slips a kanji note. A mom will stare unbelieving at the last words he wrote. I'm alive. I'm alive. When the last perfume sample spritz displaces the last oxygen atom, and the last patron at the bay collapses at the last escalator bottom, men poaching fengu to grind up for the scent are treed by tigers in the woodlands and witness their own ascension. When the last roll up the rim to win serves up its last lying sorry, and the last plantation hand is drenched and the last insecticide slurry, we'll remember we were born to heal, and whether we do or not, some are here to work and some are here to shop. I'm alive, I'm alive. So that's from the book, and then I imagine some people in the room are writers. Hopefully we'll talk afterward about that, or whatever you want. I didn't write for a while after the book, and I just started writing again about a month ago, and I went to a residency, and that sort of got me going. It's too early to tell you what the new project would really be about, but most of the new work is kind of about men and other places. So this poem is about my neighbor, actually. It's called The Perseus. You can tell how recently I wrote it, you can carbonate that. So The Perseus. The wife beater's been bailed out. His tight bargain store shirts dry on the backs of plastic chairs on the balcony in late summer sun. He's smoking his fifth cig this hour with his semi-retired boxer sloth claw of a hand. As he glares at the mirror that is the stone wall of a basilica, perpendicular to his jaw. He used to fork into the purple Japanese maple and now spits discreetly into a gleaming, delabeled coffee can. His honeymoon wife cowers beside a Ray-Bans and a ball cap that stars a repeating lovebird motif. He's changed a smidge. I haven't done Dick off. Like a vacuum on an infomercial, progress is centrifugal. I muse about a blowgun, about a curator tip spear, but my trajectory would be read forensically, in reverse. He is my dead zone. I simply rehearse. When I was still healing, a kind of martyr of self-loathing, and still not first saying I know where I'm going, then will you go with me? I met another man, as you do. We went on vacation. Between rainforest and sunburns, I could never be certain. The the waves heaved themselves sick. The moon illusion bleached. Fear inhabits paradise as much as its opposite. Another person is a leap and a breach. In a borrowed bed, in a borrowed house, someone's comforting machete lay within arm's reach like it's no thing. The skylight hung overhead like God or Damocles, meteor streaked by, syncopated, or like his nearer neurons, like holiday sparklers in children's tiny, hardly fists. And I mouthed, I'll never forget this, I'll never forget this. But memory isn't selected by will or conscience, or is there evidence? He's not so racked with guilt that he leaps. I almost forgot, I should really say thanks, you know? It's really a pleasure to be with Rob and Ralph, and thanks to Diana and every volunteers, everybody. I'm gonna read three more, but they're fairly short. Wait online. They're four and they're really long. They're four and they're very blank. The next one, I said some of the poems about other places, and this one's about San Francisco. It's called I've Left Nothing Inside on Purpose. Every corner here has its own mascot, a man in a wheelchair. SFPD blue and panopticon hats for the F car. Guard us from them, or them from us. A walkie-talkie crackles. A man is on foot with a semi-automatic. 10-4. San Francisco is on target to be the whitest city in America. The ferry grinds its rusted ass past the pier the size of an airport hangar, where Ruby two-story letters hollered, eat crab. A cross-cut populace hauled here, defied gravity, turned their backs to news, so at home in the world that they knew it would sleep while they hike and cruise. Alarm force. Everything's rigged. A posted notice in a Mercedes reads, do not smash glass. I've left nothing inside on purpose. A new crew of ghouls docks and looks down from the gun galley on Alcatraz's broken windowed workroom to Ai Weiwei's Lego portrait of dissidents. The air pricks lungs with rust. The glare of the Pacific is arctic, atomic, as is the empty rhetoric of a shuttered prison or arc. The island is parched as a desert skull, hollowed out and soundproofed, at once dead and unnatural. Blood-colored graffiti from a short-lived native occupation is the only text. It wasn't scrubbed and hasn't faded. The tour guide bellows, who was the only man who ever escaped this island and is confirmed to have made it to the other side alive? The punchline, Clint Eastwood. This next poem is about Clint's film, I lost track of him, American Sniper. It's kind of about that. It's called Subplot. They meet at the literal bar counter, such original love. And they sass with a violent tension because, well, he's a seal, whatever that means. And they both don't know how much they want it or don't, never mind the other. They have a shot off. Good liquor. Classic. He weighs two times her easily, so she pukes into the shrubs. And he holds her hair back like reins. He's a gentleman. If he could think abstractly, he'd say it was like the prehistorical echo of the foregone wedding, her clasping the whatever flowers are called. Flash forward after 20 who's counting kills and she's pregnant. On the couch and flipping through a magazine, as if people actually do that. And he calls her sometimes from his Bluetooth while he lies on pallets on the rooftops of Fallujah. And they both say, I miss you, Arne. I mentioned they went to a residency and these next two poems some of these were revised there, but these two were written there. It's in Provincetown, Massachusetts that I went to, which is a tip of Cape Cod. It's a historically gay enclave, still is, and then all these kind of families come to, whether they know that or not, I don't know. And so the first thing I'm gonna read you is very brief. called P-Town Sonic, called Provincetown P-Town. And then the other one is different. So anyway, P-Town Sonic. An infant in a stroller says, mwah, 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 like a cartoon bad guy. Brother knocks over and over crystal salt and pepper shakers on the metal grate of a table and saccades their elliptical rolls. A drag queen glides by on a unicycle, fans a royal wave, and a girl exclaims, Daddy, I like the clown. Every person wants the photograph without the world in it. For traffic to part, to walk through the open door. Daddy, the hyper black lab isn't merely rolling in kelp, he's munching on an open crow. His heart is a sun also. The sun bakes the fog to a spritz. Daddy, is that snow? What are people trying to signal to me with all this neon? I'm right here, you know. I need to sit, I'm sorry. The last poem I'm going to read to you, and thank you for your attention, your kind of slow daydreaming, whichever it may be. The last poem is called Hollow All the Way Down. This one sort of harkens back to my work at the hospital. I work with people who may or are suspected of having dementia, and oftentimes do. But that's all I'm going to say. A hand in a curtain, soil on fire. He can still play the piano, but can't remember where we are. North England, by the sea, 1983, might as well be Pennsylvania underground. Coal that won't cease smoldering for a blank number of miles, X number of years. Can't snuff itself. Try. Every 3 minutes, his breaker resets. 000, then 001, etc. His wife emerges from the other side of the wall. It's a new birth. The first birth. The Big Bang. Ecstatic. His eyes. His luck. He doesn't know she's been here all day, all week, all month, all year, was just mucking about in the garden. He still knows his love. Love lives in a different region than the one carved out by the clock. A town with a population under 8, grumbles and rockers lined up. On a house porch perched on stilts. Soil remediation, flat foots. A buckled road is too weak to hold anything but foot traffic and is graffiti. A person procures a tool, and the sensation is charged, metal sheathed in chi. I could say nothing or everything. Hi, Bob. More zeal. You do you. Or, for a good time, call 911. A black lad bolts like he broke through a fence to the real thing. He was released from a hatchback, but pretends. He bounds elliptically because the magnets are stronger than him. What's he eating now? Must he always eat cellulose and scat? Owner hollers, claps, and lab coils reflexively into a C-clamp, braced for the smack. A hand in a curtain, soil on fire, neurons delinking, a man clings to a woman he can't place, another person is a carbon sink, a man's best friend is his diary. It's hollow all the way down, and I'm waking up, I am. Finally awake, no, now I am. Actually awake, fully and totally. No, now I am awake for real. No, now I am really awake. No, now. The secret's out, to turn the town slow-mo into a quarry. Exploding homes, civil suits, a gossiping chorus. They say, I know it in my heart. I just know it. But you can't know anything in your heart. Thank you.